for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2006 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Sunday morning, November the 26th, 2006. Robert Cameron is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Seven Dips Will Do You.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as your servant, we remove the dam, and we bring the release and the flow of the Spirit of God and of the prophetic word. We love to hear your voice. We love to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, we release the prophetic anointing. We release the prophetic gifts in here, my God. And we ask, my God, not just for a good word, but we ask for a God word. We ask to hear your voice, my Father, that which would speak to us. And we promise that we be attentive to that which the Spirit says to the church. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I wonder if you just raise your voice and let's just worship the Lord a minute.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Burie vlogosa falane kala sana moshenta namilente kredeve setori orobose
ebramando rosole preagora
glorie rebesse krumpa
ebranduru
endele begivia returu musa rindolo vogolo si plana masciate revede calarassina virreimo sotto lo coro brossana Vende le vegheri tu robo santra la manciaro. Golobo santo lo vogo robo si tre le mesce. Va per ne curmo santra. Michele ne le vesce cru. Bruco santo lo Cuta le vesce creri e le vesce entro.
Veste vintro cusso.
Bari.
Era parando la rapo.
Vinde.
My people hear my voice as I begin to flow out of your bellies as rivers of living waters.
Thank you, Jesus.
Know, says the Lord, that the earth is thirsty. It awaits the rivers to flow out of your belly. So allow my new sound to flow out of the midst of thee, says the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Allow the wells of God to begin to spring up out of your bellies now.
For there is a fresh release of worship. Allow the wells to begin to spring up out of your bellies now. For there is a fresh release of worship. Allow the wells to begin to spring up out of your bellies now. Spring up, O wells. Spring up, O wells. Spring up and sing unto your God. Spring up and sing unto your God. Spring up and sing unto your God, O Zion. Irara mosuri etari bori. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Shinaranina. Shinaranana. River of God, flow, flow, River of God, flow, flow, River of God, flow, come water the desert, my God, until the desert begins to bloom again. Flow, flow, River of God. Eremos alabasha maman. Melevia ruka mishlevetu. Send the rain, O God. Send the rain. Send the rain, O God. Send the rain. Ulubu shako rima. Milebeki tro. Nomo sabi pro nomo sha. Zendebeki tro.
In my heart are many songs. Listen to your heart, and I will give you songs in the night. Yes. I am your creator, and I have you in my hand. Fear not, fear not, fear not. I am the same yesterday and forever. Yet I am restoring my church. I'm restoring my church. I'm restoring my church.
Yes.
You need the power. You need the power. Come in under my wings. Come in under my wings. I will heal you and mold you and prepare you for just such a time as this. My kingdom is here. My kingdom is within you. My kingdom is here. I've poured out on you. Now stir up your word that I placed in your heart. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, and and be prepared to give. Be prepared to give out my word. My word is life. My word is life. My word is healing. Be prepared to give out my word. Don't hold my word. Give out my word. They need my word. I am the word. If you give out my word, you give out me. You will not run short. Don't be afraid. Give out my word. Give out my word. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour out my word.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
There are new sounds being released to the earth, says the Lord. Sounds of rejoicing, sounds of thanksgiving, sounds of deliverance.
Yes.
By raising forth a speaking people in the earth, says the Lord, that understand my heart, that understand my season, that understand my timings, that understand my compassion for my purposes, that understand my heart. You are my people. You're such a people called for a time as this, says the Lord. You're the people of my love. You're the people upon whom I poured forth my grace and my mercy, says the Lord. The people I've chosen in this hour, says the Lord, where I take them from obscurity and I bring them forth. A people strong, a people who know their God, says the Lord. A people who begin to do exploits in my name. And say not amongst you, but I'm a small one. And say not amongst you, but my history prevents me from going forward. For have you heard my word? For I said, keep not back, but begin to break forth, my people. Begin to break forth on the left and break forth on the right. Begin to rise up in the strength of the Lord your God. I am your God. I am the Lord your God in the midst of you, and I'm mighty. I will use you to do exploits in my name. For the hour has come, and now is, says the Lord, when my kingdom shall be manifest in you and through you, because I am your God. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. And you are the instruments of my spirit. You are the works of my hands. And if you will allow me, says the Lord, yeah, even from this place will you begin to break forth this day, says the Lord. Yeah, yes, with you, says the Lord, for I heard in the spirit one say, but I'm weak. And I hear the Lord say, no, I say you are strong. I say you are well able. I say you will run through that troop. I say you will leap over that wall. I say I have given you a victory. Yeah, many of you will see victory even before you arrive home. You will hear a word that says, yes, it has happened, and you will rejoice. And the Lord said, it will be a sign that I have gone before you. It will be a sign that I'm making your crooked places straight. Yeah, victory shall be seen. Victory after victory. Yeah, even in the midst of trial. And no, said the Lord. And no, said the Lord, for I see those who ministers, especially the two sisters who ministered before. I see God raising you to high dimensions. And God says, it's new walls and new enemies and new dimensions, says the Lord. But it's victory. Call on the Lord, says it's victory. Hallelujah. Sister McGee, the Lord says it's victory after victory. It's strength after strength. And Brother Glenn, the Lord says, surely, son, the vision, it will come to pass. Though it has tarried, the season for manifestation is here. My right hand has ordained it. My hand of strength shall be revealed in this hour, says the Lord. For know, my people, I'm about to shake the earth with the weight of my glory like the earth has never seen. My feet is currently in the earth, and you are my feet, says the Lord. My strength is in the earth, says the Lord, and you are my strength, says the Lord. So my people, arise, for the hour of grace is here upon you. This that you have heard, it shall come to pass. That which you have
heard declared over your life. It shall come to pass. And the Lord said, do not doubt and do not fear, because that which I have spoken to you, I will bring it to pass. And I see in the Spirit that there are many in here this morning that God has given an assignment concerning His purposes and His plans, and that there has been a fierce challenge of the enemy against it. God says, that's okay, because what He meant for evil, I am about to turn around for your good, says the Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord said, yea, even as in the day of Moses, when my word was released, the enemy sought to challenge it, says the Lord, for many days. But then a night came, says the Lord, when I declared unto Moses, let thy blood be shed. I declare over you, my people, my blood speaks on your behalf. The hour of deliverance is nigh. Victory is nigh in the camp, says the Lord. So arise, you who are mighty. Arise, you who are strong. And do exploits in my name. For I've gone before you, and you will see my victory. For my plan is sure, says the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hear the Lord saying that there's a wilderness out there. There are many barren fields. And many are hungering for a fresh drink from the well springs, said the Lord. Know that my purpose in this place has not ceased, said the Lord. But my purpose is restored. For once again shall this place be an equipping station, said the Lord, where the multitudes who are dry and barren and who have not had a drink shall come again and shall receive a refreshing of my Spirit, said the Lord, and they shall leave this place refreshed and watered in spirit, and they shall go out to water others, said the Lord. For yes, I have opened up the wellsprings of the deep in the natural and in the spiritual. Yes, yes. And they shall come to receive of a fresh drink, said the Lord. For once again, I bring a releasing of my Spirit in this place that has not been here for a while. Once again, I bring a stirring, said the Lord. Wave after wave after wave after wave, said the Lord. And it shall be known that this is a place of my refreshing.
Jesus.
Glenn, do not despair, for yet in your lifetime you shall see the glory of God. And you shall rejoice.
Thank you, Lord.
Yet in your lifetime shall you see again the Shekinah glory of God in this place. And many shall come, and under the weight of the glory they shall not be able to stand. And they shall bow in my presence, said the Lord. Behold, even to you and to this place do I bring a new day. The long night is over. And I bring a refreshing,
Jesus,
said the Lord. Therefore now speak ye to the well, sing ye to it, said the Lord. And say, spring up. Spring up, O wells. Sing ye unto it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we release that freshness of your Spirit on everyone that you brought here this weekend. That now the dam is broken and the releasing comes, my God, that they go forth out of this place and something new and fresh begins to spring up and begins to be released in them and through them, my God. So that wheresoever they go, they water the dry land. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let that be so, my God. That wheresoever they go,
The wilderness begins to bloom. Wherever they go, my God, the barren places begin to bring forth, my God. Wherever they go, the river flows. We declare and we decree. And we establish this in the realm of the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we declare the word that was uttered in heaven is now released in the earth. And it is so in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we give thanks unto you for it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And we receive from you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Thank you.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this man. Lord, I bless Glenn. Thank you, my God, as his day so shall his strength be. Thank you, my God, for the increasing of the vision and for the stirring up of that vision. David, come a minute, please. Come, David. Lay your hands on and Glenn and stir. Receive fresh strength, fresh grace, fresh impartation. The vision that delayed, the vision that was an appointed time, it comes about in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes.
He walks, but he doesn't faint. God, thank you, Lord. Sons that rise up beside him and behind him and around him, my God. You increase him with sons. You increase him with daughters, my God. You increase him with helpers, my God. You increase him with resources. We agree in this place that it is so, my God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the well of the deposits within will begin to break forth now. Hallelujah. And Son of Man, I hear the Lord saying, Son, the season has come where the deposits of the Word that are placed inside of you, though they may not come out vocally at this point, they must now come out in pen. They must now come out on paper. The Lord says, if you have to dictate it for others to write it, that deposit that I've locked up for the last 40 years must now come forth. For it now, says the Lord. For a season has changed, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Robo shende de brokondo robosha. I hear shouts of rejoicing coming out of your belly, coming out of your wellsprings. Robondo dombonde de basa. I see many sons of warrior sons inside your loins. Ikando robosha. Spiritual sons. And God says, Son, by the laying on of hands, you will transfer a grace to sons and daughters to run where they have never run, to run where you have not run, said the Lord. The Lord said, the hour of your Jehus is now, Hikadabrosiah. And the Lord says, begin to take up the deposits, and as you release your hands upon them, says the Lord, I will transfer a grace, a strength, and like vision, says the Lord. And they would run, they will bear the vision, they will bear the vision, they will bear the vision, says the Lord. Fear not. It will not go when you go, when you come to be with me, says the Lord. It will continue strong. Yeah. And nevertheless, says the Lord, that which has been within you for the last 40 years must now come up. It must be unveiled. It must be released, says the Lord. Leave the deposit with this generation, says the Lord, for they now need it. The hour is now. It is here, says the Lord.
Write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision, make it plain. Get yourself a secretary and dictate to her and have her write. So that the vision does not go and the vision remains and others can read it and run with it. Make it a part of the deposit of this place. Because God raised up this place for a purpose and it must go to the next generation. Yes. Write the vision!
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, I thank you for doing it. And I give glory and praise unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Fear not. God will give you the grace. You are a bursting father. And God will give you the grace. And you must birth another. You must birth another who stand in your place and carry on and increase the vision. And I give you the grace to do it, even in this season, said the Lord. The Lord says, I'll open your eyes and I'll join a one to you. And you'll call him my son. My son. My son. And he'll call you my father. And you'll birth in him that vision. That the vision remains for another generation, said the Lord. And that the vision increases. Because there are things that God has shown you that some you've forgotten. But God says, in the writing they shall be restored and shall be established. Write it down, and as you start to write it, then suddenly it will come back, what you lost for a while. Amen. Because a season of releasing is given to you. A season to release the vision and to strengthen and establish the vision in others, said the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Yes.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the prophetic word. There's some pathetic ones going around, but thank God for the prophetic. Hallelujah. God wants to birth new songs. I just really feel that you ladies, you're songwriters. And God wants to birth new songs. He says, I'll give you a new song to glorify my name. Old songs are good. We've sang quite a few old songs this week. But there's a new song. And it's for this generation. And it's not a culture thing. It's not a black culture song. It's a song of the Lord. It's a song for the kingdom. It's a song that's going to set people free. It's a song that's going to see people come to Jesus. It's a song that's going to bring deliverance. It's a song that's going to bring joy. It's a song that's going to bring peace. It's a song that's going to bring revelation. And I just want you to cultivate. You do. All through the Bible, it says, you do and I will. You do, he will. You put yourself out. He that would minister, let him wait on his ministry. So I want to encourage your heart today. It's not about singing, it's about worship. I love worship. I love praise, don't you? There's something with praise you need to know. I'll give you three things, and I was going to share this, but I'll just share this. There's three things on praise you need to know. Number one, God loves it. God loves worship. In fact, if you read the scripture, he created worship. He created the heavens. He said to Job, where were you when I formed the stars and the heavens, and all the sons of joy shouted for joy, all the sons of God shouted for joy and sang for joy? The earth was created with song. You've heard people say, listen to the winds singing. The song of the Lord is on his people. God loves the worship. In fact, we were created, Revelation says, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That word pleasure is the root word enos, which is the same root word for praise and worship. And for thy worship we are and were created. You and I were created to worship the Lord. You and I were created to honor the Lord. You and I were created to talk to the Lord. And until you and I function in that priestly function of praise unto the Lord, there will be a sense of unfulfillment in our lives that we will try and fill with something or someone else. But it's a futile search, because we have a vacuum within us, but there's a space in us to worship God continually. To worship God with all of our heart. God loves it. I reckon as you and I have praised God this morning, and as John's been obedient to the Holy Spirit, we've made the heart of God happy. He's not sad today. He looks down and sees his little crowd and sees his little group and says, they've made me happy. You know, when you make Dad happy, he'll move heaven and earth to meet your need. My children, when they were younger, especially my youngest daughter, she's 21 now, but when she wanted something from me, she would start 2 days ahead. And she would come down and give me a big smooch right in the cheeks. Love you, Dad. That's all it took. And then she would go for 2 days and add some more and a little hug, and, you know, I really appreciate you. Okay, I could have said right away, what do you want? But I wanted to milk the worship. I wanted to milk that love. And by the end of 2 days, she could get anything I have. Well, God's the same. God's a loving, heavenly If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father? Just tell Him you love Him this morning. I thank You. I thank You with all of my heart, Lord. I thank You. I'll never get over this life that You give me. It's a song I wrote last time I was coming to camp. I just want to thank You forever. I just can't get over the life I've got. The Lord has given me a great life. I just love Him. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm out fishing, I'll just stand there fishing. Whether I get fish or not. It's good if you get fish. If I'm out golfing, I'll be walking down the freeway and the fairway, and I'll just, whenever I'll maybe go away from everybody else because that's where my ball lies. And then I'll just start kuraba sukura mamasha. Thank You, Jesus. You know why? There's something about being thankful. God loves it. Worship, God loves it. Number two, the flesh hates it. There's another good reason to worship God. Don't you think for 1 minute your flesh wants to praise the Lord. The reason you're here this weekend is because you've killed your flesh and you've told your flesh, I'm going to go and I'm going to praise God, I'm going to be delivered of that camp. The reason you're here is because you've denied the flesh. And we're here doing these services, praising God because we haven't allowed our flesh to dictate to us what we're going to do. But now we do sometimes do that. How many know your body is your donkey? Your body is your donkey. I mean, the real you's in here. I mean, the real me is in here, slim, six-pack, dark-headed, good-looking young. I'm speaking in faith here. I hope the fair makes a heart sick. I don't know. But the real you's in here, the spirit man. And we often allow, you know, and we tell our donkey what to do. We tell our donkey, get up in the morning and eat breakfast. Go down to bed at night and sleep. Do this, do that. But the funny thing is when we come to church, we allow the donkey to dictate to us what we're going to do. Well, don't you praise God today? You're kind of tired, so we'll just take it easy. We'll sit down. I mean, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Because the flesh doesn't want to worship. You've got to sit your flesh. I will bless the Lord. Get up, donkey. You will bless the Lord. You will talk about His goodness. You will magnify the Lord. You will bless Him. You will worship Him. You'll just tell your body. Tell your flesh. Because the flesh doesn't like it. You know why? Because no glory, no flesh or glory in His presence. You can smell flesh a mile away. If you're sitting in the presence of God and some dear old sister stands up, a dear old guy stands up and right out a kilter, that's old flesh there, because when the fire of God falls and it touches the flesh, when flesh is burned, it stinks. You ever smell burnt flesh? That's the flesh. The fire is hitting it in his flesh. And then someone else will stand up and give a word in the spirit. And it's harmonious. It flows and it's just right. So one good reason to praise God and worship God is He loves it. Second good reason is the flesh hates it. And here's a third one. The devil is devastated by it. The devil can't stand praising people. The devil can't stand worshiping people. You know why? Because a worship brings revelation. Worship brings a revelation of who God is. It brings a revelation of what God can do. And it brings a revelation of what He's going to do. It brings a revelation of who you are in Christ. Worship releases us to understand who God is. And whenever the church begins to stand and worship, it doesn't matter how many or how small, when that church begins to shout something like, reign, Jesus, reign. King of Zion, Judah's lion, reign, Jesus, reign. Every devil in hell gets on their back heels and they begin to tremble because they know that's a church that know their God. And they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means they'll just have a go. When you understand that praise and worship, it'll make you powerful. It'll make you strong. It'll make you brave. It'll make you adventurous. You'll do exploits. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody say amen. I don't mean. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, I know time is gone, but you give me 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I can see a lot in 20 minutes. And, you know, turn to if you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And don't forget to pick up some of my resources now. If you haven't done so already, take me home with you. And also that new CD from our church, some great new brand new songs you've never heard, brand new songs from the house, and just worship songs, and just they will bless you amazingly, and I don't want to travel back with them. It's been great to be in a camp this week, and you know, it's wonderful just to have an open spirit, an open heart. You know, I'm sure there's people sat here this week and got nothing. I mean, I know that. But if you're hungry, you'll be fed. If you're thirsty, you'll get a drink. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if you're hungry, you'll get something. And maybe something you saw in the camp this week you don't understand, that's okay. Just put it aside until God reveals it to you. When I came to America in 1967, I was just out of my crib. I was graduated from high school, actually. But when I came to America, I didn't like... all I liked was beef and potatoes. You heard Glenn say that the other night. I didn't like lettuce. I didn't like tomatoes. I didn't like pasta. I didn't like green beans. I didn't like pickles. Still don't like pickles. You know, I was in trouble. Because there's green beans everywhere. I don't care what restaurant you go to, you're going to get green beans. I mean, if it's a special on there, you mark my words, the next time you go to a restaurant and there's a special on, look at the menu. It's whatever the special is, turkey, chicken, beef, Salisbury steak, is green beans. So if you want a cash crop, green beans. But I never liked that, so I put up, and I didn't like this stuff. I didn't like tomatoes, lettuce, all that kind of stuff. I just like hamburgers and chips, french fries. We call them chips. But you know, my father used to say to me, well, if somebody invites us out to eat, and they spread a pasta or these chicken and salads, and all that stuff, if you're not going to eat it there, you're just going to wait till the next time. Well, I was a young boy. I was a string bean there, by the way. I was like 145 pounds, but I had a good appetite. So that would make, you know, when your dad says you're not going to eat till the next time, that would make wonders for your appetite. So what I would do is I would wait till I was really, really hungry, then I would try something I didn't like. And 9 times out of 10, I got to like it. Except the pickles. Try the pickles, just still don't like them. Pickled beets, love them. Pickles, don't like them. But listen, what I'm saying is this. When you're hungry enough, when you're desperate enough, yeah, you'll take a taste of what you've heard this weekend.
Yeah.
So don't hang up, hang on. God will come through for you. You got, amen? 1 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to talk for a few minutes on how to have a breakthrough in your life. How to have a breakthrough. 2 Kings, rather. Did I say 1 Kings? It's the accent. 2 Kings chapter 5. How to have a breakthrough. Or if you want to cut the title down, you can call it 7 Dips Will Do You. 7 Dips Will Do You. So listen to the word of the Lord here. Verse 1. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. And so I'll leave it there. We'll just use that scripture, bounce off of there, the story. You know the story. Naaman was a leper. He had everything going for him. But the truth is, you and I need every now and again a breakthrough in our lives. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what echelon of society we're in. It doesn't matter how blessed we think we are. There are times when we need a breakthrough in our lives. I need a breakthrough for one of my sons right now. I mean, everything else is going great, but I need a breakthrough for him. And the truth is, so I'm speaking from experience. When I'm preaching, we're not just preaching from, you know, just ethereal stuff or just intellect. We're talking from the heart. God wants to give us a breakthrough. It might be in your finances. It might be in your family. It might be in your ministry. It might be in your health. It might be just life itself. You need a breakthrough. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God is a God of breakthrough. God is a God of deliverance. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. His arm is not shorter that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. He hears. He knows. In Exodus, he said that, I have heard the cry of my people. Remember in Exodus in chapter 4? I have heard. You can hear a long way off. And then he goes on to say, I have seen the affliction of my people. And that meant he was coming closer. Because you can hear a lot farther than you can see.
All right.
He says, I've heard the cry of my people. I have seen the affliction. And I have come down to deliver them. And I'm going to say, God wants to give you a breakthrough in your life. He hears what's going on. He hears your prayer. He sees your tears. In fact, he bottles your tears. And he has come down to deliver you and give you a breakthrough in your life. You see, life is full of doors.
And the truth is, doors have got to be walked through. You can look at doors all your life, and you can look at opportunities, and you can. And but if you don't go through the door, you'll never get to the next level God wants you to get to. You'll never get that breakthrough in your life. We look at some people who have all the right stuff. They're born on the right side of the tracks. They've gone to the right universities and have had the right education, but somehow things have never worked for them. They've never been able to go through the door of opportunity. It could be because of fear. Fear will stop you from going through doors. And I know many people that fear has paralyzed them. It stopped them from doing being all they could be for God because of fear. They're afraid to talk. Listen, when I was a young kid, when I was a teenager, I was so shy, it wasn't funny. When they asked me to give a testimony back in the church and to the youth group, and I mean, I've thought about a 30-second, I'm glad I'm saved and I mean to go on. You know, pretty simple. But I used to get so nervous that I would be physically sick. I'd vomit at the thought of speaking publicly. But you know what happened? I just kept on doing it. Speak it. Even if you're afraid, do it anyway. Because the more you do it, you'll conquer that fear. I refuse to allow that fear to stop me.
All right. Yes.
And look at me now. Help, I've started talking and I can't shut up. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have something to say, you have something to say. The truth is, some people just don't have anything to say because of nothing in here. But if it's in here, it's like a well springing up. Jeremiah says, it's like fire shut up in my bones. You can't allow fear to stop you from being all you can be for God. It could be lack of faith. I know some people just don't have the faith to go and do the next level. It could be insecurity. Don't let insecurity stop you from being all God wants you to be and having that breakthrough in your life. If we look at some other people who have had all the odds stacked against them, and yet they've had a breakthrough. They've never parked by their handicaps or their odds. I have a friend who, I've just been reading his book. He gave me his book 2 weeks ago, and it was Admiral Black. He was the first African-American chaplain of the Senate, the 62nd chaplain. He retired last year, and his book's entitled From the Hood to the Hill. Brought up in Baltimore, just in abject poverty. But he refused to become a victim of his circumstances, or a victim of his odds, and he did something great with his life, and he's a tremendous, mighty man of God. So you and I, we can't allow ourselves to become victims of our circumstances. I remember reading a story with this young black boy. He was born at age 7, through an accident, he became blind. And at age 15, he became orphaned, his mom and dad were killed. But he refused to allow his circumstances to stop and be whatever he's going to be. And he grew up and he played the piano. And he gave us a song, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. He also gave us Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
Georgia. Ray Charles. Refused to become a victim of his circumstances. Walked through the doors and became a great star and a great entertainer of our time. Helen Keller got through the doors. My dad, brought up in an alcoholic, totally ungodly family, saw the door of opportunity and walked through that door. And because of that, here I am today. And here, and I'll tell you, we've got to think generationally. We're not just thinking of ourselves. Even that's what I when I used to get afraid, I used to think, well, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it just relies on, we've got to think down the line. We've got to get breakthroughs. We get breakthroughs in sports. Years ago, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. But that was only the beginning of many, many other records we've broken. But somebody has to set the pace.
Yeah.
You can have breakthroughs in your work. You can have breakthroughs in failures. Oh, yes. You can have breakthroughs in failures. Some people fail and they never get up again. The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times. Now, that's only metaphorical. It could be 770 times. The righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up again.
Yes.
I remember reading a story with Thomas Edison. And he was in his working one night with his assistant next door in the other office. And he's trying to invent something. Thank God for Thomas Edison. Or we wouldn't be able to see at night. He gave us a light bulb, right? Thank a teacher for that, for letting you know that. And he was inventing something one night, and all of a sudden there was a big explosion in his office. And he comes running out, and his face is black with his suit, and he's excited. He said, "Hey, I've had a breakthrough! I've had a breakthrough!" And his assistant said, "What are you talking about? I've just found out the 375th way how not to do it." He was working with the process of elimination. And sometimes we can have failures, but that's okay. Don't park by your failures. You've got to get up again and say, "I've learned from that." Now, if you didn't learn from it, you'll go around the mountain again. Because the children of Israel took an 8-week tour and made it a generational tour. Because they kept on, they wouldn't learn the first time. So God said, "Well, take another lap around the mountain. Take another, in fact, go this way, we'll take a different way. Go," and so you won't, they didn't even know where they were. Because they refused to learn from their failures. They refused to get the breakthrough. I read a story of the man in Colditz during the World War in the prisoner of war camp. There was one block of American and British troops who always tried to escape. You've seen the movie, maybe some of you have seen the movie Colditz. But these guys were not content to be in prison. All the rest of the prisoners, they just stayed in their cells. But these guys just refused to stay in. And they tried different ways. They tried to escape, like, I think it was 11 times or 17 times. And 17 times they were caught. And every time they were caught, they celebrated. Because they knew that we'll have another chance. We didn't do it this time, but we'll try it again. And I believe on the 18th time, they escaped, they made it the 18th time. Never give up. Get through that door of opportunity and let God lead you to the next level in your life. Let's have a breakthrough in our lives. Naaman was a great man. Listen to the story about the man we're talking about. In verse 1, he says he's a great man in the sight of his master. He wasn't a legend in his own mind. He wasn't a legend in his own lunchtime. He was a great man in the eyes of his master. He had respect from his master. He was a great man. The Bible says also, now goes on to say, he was highly regarded. His word meant something. When he spoke the word and gave a promise, it happened. How good is that? I mean, today we've got the right contracts all the time. But what about your word as your bond? What about where we could just clap and shake hands and say, "That'll do it for me." You know, Manhattan was bought on a handshake. The island of Manhattan was born on a handshake. But today we can't do that because we can't trust each other. But he was a man highly regarded. He wasn't a Johnny come lately. He was a man of character. I was in somebody's house a while back and they had a sign on the wall that said, "Don't talk about your character. Let your character talk for itself." Don't talk about your character. Let your character talk for yourself. He was a man of character. He was a man of discipline. The Bible says he was a valiant man. It means he was full of resolve. He would fight to the bitter end. He had a don't give up spirit. He would face the problem and deal with it. Sometimes we are guilty of not facing the problem. Sometimes we're guilty of denying the problem. But let me tell you something, that doesn't do any good. You're best to face the problem. Years and years ago, I was a commercial fisherman back in Scotland. And I was on a ship, and sometimes we get caught in a storm. And if we were caught in a storm, the safest thing we could do in the ship was head towards the storm. Don't try and outrun it. Don't go across it, because you get a broadside. You had to get into the storm, and you take the throttle of the ship back, and you would just, what we call, dodge. You would just stay there for hours until the storm left. And it was the safest place. I'm going to tell you, the safest place for you is not to hide from the problems. It's to face the problems and deal with the problems. You know why? Because sometimes if you don't deal with them, you'll leave them for 3 or 4 weeks, and every day you don't deal with them, they trouble you. They trouble your spirit. But the moment you deal with them, you get up one day and you say, "I've had it. I'm going to deal with this problem." Then it's not as bad as you think. And you think yourself, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You think, "I could have done this 3 weeks ago and saved all this aggravation." He was a valiant man. He was a wealthy man. He was okay. He had all that he needed financially, socially, and his family. But he had leprosy. And how many times do we park by our butts? "I would serve the Lord, but. I would sing for the Lord, but. I'll give to the Lord, but." You'll never do anything if you park by the butts in your life. You've got to give to the Lord, sing to the Lord, no matter what you do. You've got to go on and sing for the Lord. Take note of the people God uses in this chapter, the Arameans. The Arameans were the enemy of Israel, but God can use the enemy to get His will done. I think I heard John say that the other night. God can use the enemy to get for His will to be fulfilled. The Bible says in Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. How many know Nebuchadnezzar didn't love the Lord? He had no time for God. But God used him in his pawn board. God used him in his chessboard. God used him to fulfill his will. God can use anybody. Sometimes we blame the devil for this, the devil for that. Let me tell you something. Something is God working in us, both the will and the do of his good. You cannot put God into a box or think we have a handle on him, because as soon as you do that, he'll come up with something really different. Now, I reckon some of you have heard some stuff this week. It's out of your box. But that's okay. Suck it up and meditate on it and let it get in your box. Let it seep in your box somewhere down the line. Yeah. God will use the most unlikely people for his glory. God will use the most unlikely situations for his glory. Some of the situations you think are disastrous, it's only a stepping stone, because God is getting ready to do something wonderful for you. In verse 2, the Bible says there was a young Israelite girl that just happened to be Naaman's wife's slave or servant. A young Israelite girl. I love God. God is sneaky. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is sneaky. He sneaks up in you every now and again. And he just gives you a jolt when you don't expect it. And God sets things in order, because, you know, God is silently planning for you. Up behind the scenes, you don't know it. He's just silently planning for you. He's got you here this weekend. He's got us wherever we are next weekend. Next weekend, I'm in Baltimore or some other place. And, you know, but he's silently planning for us. God was silently planning for Naaman, because he had a purpose. He wanted him to have a breakthrough for a purpose. This young Israelite girl, she was a person of submission. The Bible said she served her master's wife. She was a person of compassion. She thought about her master. You know, most servants don't think about their masters, except bad thoughts. But this woman, this girl, was a godly girl, and she thought about her master. She had compassion for her master. She was a person on a mission. And sometimes, you know, we've got to realize we are better led than we know it. We're not just a piece of flotsam and jetsam flowing down the sea of life. We are led by the Spirit of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, right? So we're better led than we know it. And this girl was positioned to bring name and deliverance and let him have a breakthrough. She was a person on a mission. She was a person of faith. She knew God. She had more faith in Joram the king. You can read the story. She knew God could heal him. You know what she says? If my master will go down to the prophet in Dothan, he will cure him. There's faith for you. She didn't say he might. She didn't say he'll pray for him. She didn't say he'll have a ward over him or lay hands on him. She said he will cure him. That's faith. That's a person of faith. She knew it. She was also a person of destiny. She realized when at the end of the story, that servant girl became the answer for a breakthrough in Naaman's life. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't care how insignificant you think you are. We are people of destiny. We are people with a destiny on us. God's got his hand upon us. And like I said the other night, the devil could try and stop you. He could try and hinder you. But God has given us a destiny. We are a people of destiny. We are a light at the top of a hill. And God will have his way with us if we just submit ourselves to him, even though we understand it or not. Understand, God is working in us. God wants to give us breakthrough. And Naaman goes down to the wrong person. You know, he went to the natural mind. He thought, well, I'll go to the king down there and speak to the king. But it's not the king, it's not the people you think will bless you or minister to you that will minister to you. Sometimes it'll be someone else, because it's not just the big dogs. God uses the people that know how to flow in the Spirit. Because a lot of big dogs don't know nothing about the Spirit at all. And God, if God was, and sometimes we go to the wrong people, he went to the wrong person. See that in Mark 5, the lady with the issue of blood, she touched many garments on the way to Jesus. Oh, she didn't touch, we just talk about she touched Jesus' garment, the hem of his garment, but she touched many garments on the way to Jesus. But nothing happened. Because it was a person full of the Holy Ghost that was able to meet that lady's need. And so, and we meet a lot of people. There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of people going around. But it's the person that knows the power of the Holy Ghost that gets the job done. That can tune into God. That knows the prophetic. That knows who God is. That knows who they are in God. They get the job done. Naaman went to the wrong person. He went with the wrong perception. He took money with him, but you can't buy your healing. Somebody say amen. It's free. But finally, Naaman ends up in the right direction. Word reaches the prophet who had an open ear. Thank God for prophets who have an ear to hear. Thank you. Yes, it's true. Because, you know, there are certainly people who get so busy with a task that we close our ears and close our eyes to what God is saying around about us, and we're so objective-driven that we miss the point, we miss what's going on around about us. See, I believe God sends people across our path every week. But sometimes we're so busy with this stuff that we fail to recognize it. And they pass on by. Because God wants to use us every day of our lives. So there was a prophet heard the story. He had an open ear and he said, send him to me. The king wasn't too sure of the prophetic, but Elisha was. Send him to me. It's interesting to know as well that Elisha was not awestruck by this general. He was a general. Naaman was a general. He wasn't awestruck with his general. In other words, when we're moving in God, it doesn't matter who comes in. If the president comes in here, we've got to act just the same. If the prime minister of England or the prime minister of England comes in, or the queen of England comes in, we've got to be just the same. We can't be awestruck with stardom because we're all the same in God's eyes. It's interesting to note as well that Elisha had never prayed for anybody before with leprosy. If you read in chapter 4, verse 27, he had never prayed for leprosy before. So this was something new. This was a breakthrough for Elisha. Not only was Naaman going to get a breakthrough, but Elisha was going to do something he's never done before. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Just write that down and put it in your Funkenwagnall. Remember the Roman and Martin's laughing? Put that in your Funkenwagnall. That shows you how old I really am. When was the last time you did something for the first time? And I'm going to tell you, as ministers of God and people of God, we should always be on the cutting edge. We should always be looking to do something different, something new, something fresh. Fresh oil, fresh water, fresh river. Can I hear my name on?
Amen.
And so Naaman comes to him, and Naaman needs to be delivered. Naaman needs a breakthrough. But I want to share some things this morning Naaman had to deal with in order to have his breakthrough. Are you with me? So if you're writing down your points, write down point number one, verse 11. Pride. You had to deal with pride. There was one thing that will stop you from a breakthrough. It's pride. It's 5 to 12. Give me 10 minutes, I'll be finished. It's pride. You know, Naaman came to Elisha, and Elisha sent his servant, said, tell him to go wash 7 times. And he got angry. Naaman got angry and said, I thought he would come to me. I thought the big hog would come to me. I thought the senior pastor would come and pray for me. How many has ever heard it? I want the senior pastor to pray for me. I want so-and-so to pray for me. They're missing the point. It's pride. And pride will always come before a fall. You'll never be restored. You'll never get a breakthrough if there's pride in your heart. We've got to deal with pride. God will not walk with the proud or the scornful. The second thing is he had to deal with anger. The Bible says he went away angry. You'll never get a breakthrough if you've got anger in your spirit. You've got to get that anger under control. You've got to deal with it. I read a story about a father lost his son. He got angry at God. Now, there are times we get angry. And there are times we get angry with God. Have you ever got angry with God? I have. If something's happened in my life and I've been downright angry with God. But God knows our weaknesses. Like I said the other night, he's not shocked. Ooh, he's angry with me. Shock and awe. He's angry. Some things happen, I've got downright angry because I didn't have an answer for it. But sometimes we just don't have an answer for it. As good as you are, there's just some things you just don't have an answer for. And this father was praying, he was angry with God because he lost his son. And he's angry, he said, God, where were you when I lost my son? And God answered him back, the same place I was when I lost my son. See, he's filled with the feelings, he's moved with the feelings of our infirmities. God's been through it all, he understands our feelings, he understands our anger. But we're going to get rid of it if we want to have a breakthrough. We want to get rid of it. Remember David's men in Ziklag? First Samuel chapter 30, the enemy come in, the Amalekites come in to steal everything. You know, the truth is, the Amalekites were told to be destroyed in chapter 15, or 16, one of the chapters. But Saul didn't kill them all. obviously, because they came back 15 chapters later to play the dirty again. If you don't annihilate, or we should annihilate, what we often tolerate. Or let me put it this way, don't tolerate what you should annihilate. If there's things in your life that needs to be cut out, cut them out. Don't tolerate and annihilate them. Get them out of your life because they'll come back to haunt you. They'll come back and do it again. Well, I'm a sinner. I got rid of it, but it's back again. Well, you didn't annihilate it. You tolerated it. Get rid of it. The Bible says with David's men, these men that risked their life and limb to get a glass of water for him. Remember? He said, oh, for a drink from the wells of Bethlehem. And three men risked through the enemy camp and got the glass of water. And he wouldn't drink it. He says, I can't drink this. It's too costly. The same man and Ziglag is going to kill him. Because you know what happened? They got angry. The Bible says they wept until they could weep no more. And that was sorrow. But if we allow sorrow to take a hold of us, it'll cause bitterness. And bitterness will get us angry. And with anger, we'll never get our breakthrough in life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The third thing he had to get delivered from was presumption. I thought. Well, we need to be delivered from stinking thinking. Because sometimes it just doesn't go the way we think. I thought. No, I'm guilty of that. No. I thought the service might have gone different today. I thought I would have been up here an hour ago. I thought. Well, as W.C. Field says, think again. But we've got to change our thinking. And we've got to be willing to change our thinking. Because sometimes we think God should work this way. Or God, I've seen people come to our church. We get, like I said, we have 100 decisions every week, at least an average of 100. And some of these kids coming in, they've got green hair, blue hair, piercings all over the place. And it's quite easy to think, God can't save them. But His ways are above our ways. Thank God His ways are above our ways. And His thoughts are above our thoughts. But we think wrong sometimes. So we've got to get rid of the sin of presumption. Don't presume things. Just let it. Sometimes when you don't understand it, don't presume it's wrong. It just, if it's something you can't understand, just leave it to God and He'll reveal it sooner or later. The sooner the better. That's what the disciples said. Remember Jesus in John chapter 9 met the blind man. He spit in the ground. He took some mud. He put it in his eyes. The disciples are shocked. What have we here? A new ministry, spitting.com. That's what they thought. Well, maybe not thought that, but they thought, what are we having? What's he doing now? What will be the talk of the town? They thought. But their thoughts were wrong. They were presumptuous. God knows what he's doing. Yeah. Number 12. We've got to get rid of prejudice. Yeah. Are not the waters in Syria far better than that filthy, muddy Jordan? And sometimes, folks, we get prejudice. And I'm not talking about racial prejudice. I'm talking about, I hope to God we've kind of got over that. Most of us have got over that, right? And if you still have a little bit left in you, well, we'll need to have another meeting. Get that cast out of you. But not just that, but just prejudice in how we think things should go. Or how we think people should look. Or how we think people should speak. I'll leave that one. But it's prejudice, just the same. It's prejudice. Because the truth is, we don't have all the truth. I don't care how good the camp is. I don't care how good I am. And I don't care how big our church is. We don't have all the truth. We've got part of the truth. Thank God, enough truth to keep set us free and to keep us going. But I'll always be open. Never be prejudiced thinking, we're the kiddos. We've got it all. You had to get rid of prejudice. Number 5. You had to get rid of disobedience. He went off. He was told to go down and dip. And yet he was he just went off. He was willing to keep his leprosy rather than be obedient. I mean, that's pretty dumb, isn't it? But we like that sometimes. We'd rather keep on to little petty things rather than give in and say, no, Lord, I'll be obedient. The Bible says Jesus was obedient even unto the death of the cross. You had to get rid of disobedience. Saul was disobedient and it cost him the kingdom. Eli was disobedient and it cost him his family and his life. So we need to be obedient. We need to get rid of if you're going to have a breakthrough, we need to get rid of disobedience. Number 6. He got offended. We can't allow offenses to stop us from moving on in God. How many people have ever been offended? I'll put my both hands up. I've been offended so many times. But you know something? We can't allow offenses to stop us moving on in God. The Bible says, they that love the law, nothing shall, great peace of they that love your law, and nothing, Psalm 119, and nothing shall offend them. There's times that we take offense, but it's the flesh. When if you think back at how we're offended, it's usually related to pride. Offenses are usually related to pride. We think back, we were hurt, and our feelings were hurt, and our pride was hurt, and we're offended. And we march out the door in offense with a, I'll never be back. Stupid. There are empty seats here today because people have got offended, and they should be here. But they've allowed the flesh, the offense, to take a root in their heart, and they're gone. And they're not better. They're bitter. They're offended. But let's get rid of offenders. Let's get rid of the offenses. I remember reading a story with Gilbert and Sullivan. Remember them, the Gilbert and Sullivan? They gave us the Mikado and the Paris of Penzance. They worked together. One wrote the music, one wrote the lyrics. And they argued over the color of a carpet in one of their theaters in England. They argued over the color of a carpet. One of them, Gilbert or Sullivan, whatever. Well, it's either one of them. 50% chance I'm right. One of them ordered a carpet, and the other one got offended that because he didn't like the color of the carpet, and he wasn't asked. And for a year and a half, they never spoke to one another. They were offended. This is absolutely true. This is funny, but it's true. When they came on stage to receive their accolades, and they won many accolades, they would walk backwards so they wouldn't look at each other, accept their accolades, and walk right off again. That's what offenses can do, though. That's what offenses can do. And finally, he had to get rid of his defiance. He marched off in defiance. I'm not going to dip. And I thank God for people that, maybe not big shots, but they understand God a little bit. And his servant Gehazi said, he wasn't perfect, by the way, Gehazi, as we find out later on, but at least he had enough sense to realize it. He said, Master, they never really asked you to do a difficult thing, did he? I mean, Elisha didn't ask you to do a difficult thing. No, dip seven times. I mean, why don't you just do it? You know, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. The Bible says he went back and he dipped seven times. He was so defiant. It reminds me of the story about this mother had and their children are sitting one night at dinner, and this one boy, one of the boys is really acting up, and he wouldn't sit in his chair. She finally pressed him down like your mothers can do. And he said, sit there and do what you're told. The little boy's sitting there. He says, I'm sitting down in the outside, but I'm standing. I'm sitting down in the inside, but I'm in the outside, but I'm standing up in the inside. That's defiance. That's defiance. God, you'll never have a breakthrough if you're defiant. And listen, I'll have to just give you the topics of these because time is gone. How do you get a breakthrough in your different things? How do you get a breakthrough in finances? Tithe. If your finances are struggling, ask yourself the question. Do you tithe? Are you eating your seed? Because you can't eat your seed. You've got to sow your seed. He gives a seed to sow and bread to eat. But you can't eat your seed. You've got to sow your seed. And oftentimes when people struggle with their finances, they're having a hard time, I ask them a question, well, are you tithing? Sometimes. Okay. Well, that's a good start. Well, that's a confession. We'll start with that, and then we'll... Because, you know, some people have the terminal illness. Everything stops for them. You know? All the money comes into them, and nothing goes out. But we've got to understand, God wants us to be generous. God wants us... The tithe is not even ours. It's God's. I mean, He lets us keep 90%. But even then, we should be very generous with love offerings. And I mean, if you worry about... And another thing is, I think a horrible thing to do is Christians who don't tip. I'm telling you, don't you go to a restaurant and listen to me, I'm dead serious. Don't you go to a restaurant and talk about Jesus if you leave a dollar after you're finished. A tip, an estimated tip, right in the 21st century is 18% at the minimum. So don't you, I've been with people. Oh, Jesus loves you, here's a card, come to church, and they leave a dollar.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway, let's carry on. I'll get upset with that. That's right. So, just, if you're struggling with your finances, that's some tips to check. What about your family? Listen about your family. Never give up on them. If your family's struggling, never go up. Listen, the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, the Bible says the father kept looking. Keep looking. Expect them to come back. Look for them to come back. and get ready for them to come back. Never give up on your children. Never give up on your family. Always expect. The father didn't condemn him. You heard John say the other night. He confessed. The son never even confessed until he got in the father's arms. But that father's love just melted him and said, look, Father, I'm not worthy. He confessed. Don't be like the older brother, pointing out the faults. If you're having trouble with your health, listen, just think about yourself. If you've got health problems, why is it? Are we eating wrong? Are we doing something wrong? Are we not exercising? And that's pretty practical stuff. But I mean, if you want a breakthrough, you know, I had a friend who was 600 pounds. And I told him one day, I said, look, I said, you know, yeah, he's sitting drinking real Cokes. He would drink real Cokes. I mean, there's a reason why people are 600 pounds, by the way. There's a reason I'm 180 pounds. I wish. But there's a reason for it. And we're working on it. Somebody says, I could tell you, Pastor Cameron, you're on the level because you've got the bubble in the middle. And I said, but I was talking to my friend, Becky, do you ever laugh, Becky? That's it. That's better. Looking back, Becky. Should be called Looking Back, Becky. So anyway, I was talking to this friend of mine, and I said, look, I says, you're struggling with your weight there as he's downing the real Cokes, you know, and my eyes, I couldn't believe it. I said, look, why don't you get that bypass surgery? Because I had a cousin had got it done, and it's amazing, you know. I said, why don't you do that? Because you're going to kill yourself if you don't do something. And he said to me, well, I'm just trusting God. Oh. And I looked at him and said, well, God's not doing a very good job, is he? Because I was a friend, I could talk to him like that. You know, you can't talk to anybody like that. Don't talk to me like that. But I talked to him like that. Because I was my friend. So, that was 4 years ago. He just got the surgery done. Because if he hadn't got done, he would have killed himself. But the truth is, we've got to check and see, well, why am I struggling? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And sometimes it's things outside your control, but a lot of times it's things within your control. Yeah. Struggling with your ministry. You want to break through in your ministry? You've got to ask yourself the question, why am I struggling in the ministry? And as a pastor, I've been in the ministry for many, many years, and I oversee a network of churches. I've been 40 churches. And just recently, I had to set 3 pastors down. And on their request, I may add, they asked me to come out and they had problems. They just didn't know. The church wasn't growing. And I found out that 3 of these pastors, or 3 of them, were not senior pastors. Two was worship leaders, and the other one was a business administrator. And they were in the wrong positioning. You've got to find out what God's called you to be. If you're an evangelist, be an evangelist. If you're a prophet, be a prophet. No, you could be a pastor evangelist. You could be a pastor prophet. But if you're not a senior pastor, don't do it. Find out where God wants you to be fitted. You may be a good second man. You may be not a good senior pastor, but you may be a number one, number two. So, you know, find out the position in God, because once you find it, you'll prosper. And the church will prosper, and everything will prosper. How do you want a breakthrough in your life? You want a breakthrough in your life? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you pleasant to be around? There's some people I just refuse to be around. Carla. No, I'm just, you know, I don't. No, I don't mean that. I mean, like Carla, I was going to say, if you just let me finish. Carla and Jerry, that's funny people, you know. So, I mean, that's the kind of people I like to be around. If I'm around people with problems and, bleeding me dry all the time, you know. Draining me, you know. I don't stay around very long. I stay around long enough to bless them and to feed them and to replenish them. But the first second I get, I'm out. Because I like to be the most happy, magnanimous, joyful, faith-filled, visionary people. So if we're having troubles with life, ask yourself the question, am I a pleasant person to be around? Or do people avoid us like the plague? You've got to ask yourself the tough questions. When you're sitting at home on your own lonesome with your remote control in one hand, the phone's not ringing. Is there something wrong with me? Am I sociable? You've got to be happy. Have fun. You know, don't just quote scripture all the time. Now, people say the only book I read is the Bible. Well, you're nuts. Read other books. Read your Bible by all means. But I mean, you know, when people meet you, they don't want a walking biblical encyclopedia. Talk about sports, talk about something they like, and find their passion. And then once you find their passion, then you can get in and do the rest. But don't be a walking biblical encyclopedia, because trust me, you'll walk alone. You'll walk alone. Because there's something with laughter that's attractive. There's something with Jesus. Jesus wasn't somber. No, I hate those pictures of Jesus. When you see him, man of sorrows. I reckon Jesus was a Well, we call it cack. He was a cack. I mean, he was a laugh, you know. He was funny. I mean, because when the Bible said when Jesus came to the city, the children ran to him. No, I don't know about your kids, but my kids would never run to a somber, sober person. I reckon we should have a picture on the wall with Jesus having a good laugh. Somebody paint it. Paint a picture of Jesus, a good one. And just put it up there, having a good belly laugh. Because he did laugh. I reckon when he walked with the disciples, he would hit them every now and again. Come on, you know, and just wrestle with them on the road. That wasn't all just heavy stuff. People loved him. He was magnanimous. You know why we need a breakthrough? Naaman had a breakthrough. He came out of that water after the seventh time. His skin was like a newborn baby. And not only that, but you know what the breakthrough happened? What happened to the breakthrough? He got a revelation of who God is. In verse 17, he says, your God, the God, the real God is the God of Israel. So when you get a breakthrough, you'll find out who God really is. Also, if you get a breakthrough, the result of a breakthrough is a revelation of who God is. The reason for a breakthrough is you'll get a worshipful heart. And he sent to Elisha, he said, look, he says, I'm going to go to the temple of my master, in the temple of Rimmon, and I'll bow down. But I'll say, when I bow down, I won't be worshipped. But Rimmon, I'll be worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many want a vision of who Jesus is? How many want to know? How many want a worshipful heart?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
How many anybody here just need a breakthrough today? A breakthrough?
Yes.
Anybody here just that word spoken in your spirit?
Yes.
Well, you know, sometimes we can have altar calls and stuff, but we're just going to pray today. Because,
yes,
you know, we're just going to be different.
Yes.
So just stand at your feet, and we're going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Brother, what's your name from Houston? Rick, I'm going to believe God for you. You're going to have a breakthrough in your church.
Amen.
It's not by accident you're here this weekend. God's brought you here to do something in your life to get you to the next level. You've been struggling. You've been pressing to get to somewhere else. You're at a level in your church with so many people, but God wants to really do something extraordinary. He's a supernatural God doing supernatural things. And he wants to do supernatural things in you and your wife's life and your church's life. And anybody else here, I'm telling you, today, just lift your hands to God as I pray. And you say, Lord, I believe we're going to have breakthrough today. Father, I just thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. And Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone here today who needs breakthrough. I don't care what it is. If it's immorality, if it's health, if it's family, if it's finances, you are a God who cares. You are a God who can do. Lord, if it's our ministry, you want to enlarge our ministry. And Lord, we say this morning, whatever it takes on our part to have a breakthrough, we're going to do it because we want to see your hand move in our lives. Father, I pray for every family member represented here. Lord, you know I've got a passion for families. I pray for that lost son. I pray for that lost daughter. I pray for that uncle. I pray for that aunt. I pray for that nephew. I pray for that niece. I pray for that grandfather. I pray for the grandmother. I pray for the mother. I pray for the father. I pray for every relative. Father, in the name of Jesus, every relative it's represented here, hound of heaven, go after them and put a hook in their jaw and bring them into the kingdom for such a time as this. Father, thank you for your goodness. There's nothing too hard for you. You are a God of breakthrough. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
This is the end of our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.